بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. وقال النبي وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: ولا تباشروهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: إذا دخل العشر كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شد مئزره وأحيا ليله وأيقظ أهله. وفي رواية: واجتهد فيه ما لا يجتهد في غيره، أو كما قال عليه السلام. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. وجزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، respected elders and dear brothers and our mothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave each and every one of us a beautiful opportunity of witnessing this Mubarak month of Ramadan. And when this month came, we eagerly awaited its arrival. But now, as the days are going, we are preparing for the departure of this honorable guest that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to our homes or to our lives. This great mehman, this guest that came, we eagerly awaited the arrival of this guest. Those who gave this guest a good welcome, then inshallah this guest has brought with it many, many beautiful gifts that it wishes to leave behind and give to us. The month of Ramadan comes with amazing barakat and blessings. Such blessings that we will not witness ever again in the 11 months of the year. Many, many ulama are unanimous about the fact that the amount of islah, tarbiyat, tazkiyah, ihsan that a person can achieve in 1 month of Ramadan, it is difficult to achieve in the 11 months of the year. It is for this reason that we find many, many of our buzurganeddin and akabirin, in the month of Ramadan, there was extra ihtimam and a great amount of emphasis on tazkiyah and tarbiyat and islah and making an effort on acquiring the kayfiyat of ihsan. We see, for example, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi and many of his khulafa after him, Faqih al-Millat Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, and many other of our akabirin, Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, that in the month of Ramadan they would really go flat out making effort on the mutalliqeen so that the kayfiyat of ihsan is acquired. Because what can be acquired and achieved in this 1 month, it is not possible to achieve in the 11 months of the year. That is why it comes in the Hadith Sharif also, that for the person whose Ramadan went well, the whole year of his is going to go well. And the converse will also hold true, that if Ramadan didn't go well, then it is feared that the other months of the year will also go very bad for that person. Man salima lahu Ramadan, salimat lahu sana, aw kama qala alayhi salam. For that person whose Ramadan went well, then every other month of the year inshallah will go well. That is why our akabirin really took great care in looking after Ramadan. This is their deep understanding of deen. Allah gave them tafaqquh fi deen. Allah gave them fahm deen. They had a very deep understanding of deen. And they knew that if this 1 month, the key, the secret, if you look after this 1 month, then you know 11 months after that are taken care of. Like how the businessman says that look after your business in the Christmas period, then you can, you know, take it easy for the rest of the year. the sails will carry you through. So like that, this is that month that if we reap the benefits of this month, then inshallah, the rest of the year will go well inshallah. So this great mehman, this guest has come, and it has brought with it great, great gifts for us. What are the gifts of Ramadan? Some of the amazing gifts of this month. For example, the gift of maghfirat in Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. What a great gift of maghfirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated 10 days of this month as the period of maghfirat. It is like an amnesty period. Even now in Saudi Arabia, they have got an amnesty period for all those people who are illegal residents there. You apply in the certain amnesty period, then all your paperwork, everything will be done and you will be regularized. Otherwise, you will be detained, you will be subjected to a lot of hardships, difficulties, and you will be eventually deported with great degradation and humiliation. So, the amnesty period Allah has given us, these days are the days of amnesty. These are the days you apply for your amnesty, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no onerous process of application. We don't have to stand in queues for long, long periods of time to get this amnesty. This is a very easy process. All we need to do is just lift our hands up with absolute sincerity, with feeling, with dedication and devotion, and keeping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us, and keeping the good attributes of Allah's maghfirat and forgiveness in front of us, we raise our hands. If additionally we can shed a few tears, then subhanallah, our amnesty application is gone through, it's approved, and it's done, and our maghfirat is made. So Ramadan has brought the gift of maghfirat. So many occasions of maghfirat in the month of Ramadan that we will not find any other time in the year. Every excuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for to make the maghfirat of His servants. And this carries on and on. The last 10 days it is even greater. Every opportunity, the big nights, the odd nights are coming. And right through even the last night of Ramadan, the very last night of Ramadan, the doors are still open. If a person missed that boat and didn't even make it for the last night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends that amnesty even to the day of Eid. Even on the morning of Eid, we made a last minute application. That last minute application will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even on the morning of Eid. And those people who may have been deficient even in the ibadat in the month of Ramadan, did not really carry out what they're supposed to have done, even they will not be deprived inshallah just by going for the Salatul Eid. Then on the way to the Salatul Eid, the Malaikatullah, they are announcing at every intersection, every street corner, every avenue, every road, every lane, they are standing and announcing the proclamation of maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All those who are proceeding for the Salatul Eid. And no sooner is the Salatul Eid over than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ, stand up, for I have granted you maghfirat and forgiveness. So how merciful, how kind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Mubarak month has brought with it this gift of maghfirat. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to grab hold of this gift. And we get our maghfirat done. May Allah save us from being among those unfortunate people that the month of Ramadan comes, and despite this great month having coming, they could not acquire their maghfirat and their sins were not forgiven. Those are indeed the people who are most unfortunate in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones upon whom has been the curse of Jibreel alayhi salam, as directed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Ameen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala make not anyone of this ummah, wherever we may be in any part of the world, not any single person to be mahroom of maghfirat in this month of Ramadan. Allah ta'ala make maghfirat of the entire ummah. Whilst we are making dua maghfirat for ourselves, we should make dua maghfirat for the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should make dua maghfirat for every Muslim man and woman around the world. In fact, those people who make a habit of seeking dua-i maghfirat for not only themselves but for the Muslimin and Muslimat, mu'mineen and mu'minat around the world, those who do this on a regular basis, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif to this effect, that the person who seeks maghfirat 25 times a day, or some narrations it comes 27 times a day, for the Muslimin and Muslimat and mu'mineen and mu'minat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record this person as mustajab da'wat. His du'as will be accepted. And some narrations it comes that he will be recorded amongst the abdal, which is a very high class and category of awliya Allah. This is because this person has got so much of feeling, he has got so much of compassion and love for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for his fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, that not only is he seeking maghfirat and forgiveness for himself, but he's seeking forgiveness for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates his darja and his ranks because of the concern and love and affection and compassion that he shows for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this great month has brought with it the gift of maghfirat. This month also brings with it the gift of freedom from the fire of hell. Especially these last 10 days, itqum minan nar. It is a time for liberation. It is a time for emancipation from the fire of hell. It is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the doors of the prison gates and allowed the people to escape. That whoever wants to escape from punishment, wants to escape from the fire, the gates are open. Whoever is going to make his way out now, he will be saved. He will attain salvation. So this month has brought the gift of itqum minan nar. And indeed, this is the month in which we should frequently and regularly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for savior from the fire of hell. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Oh Allah, save us from the fire of hell. For indeed, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that the person who reads morning and evening 7 times after Fajr and after Maghrib regularly reads Allahumma ajirni minan nar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard that person from the fire of hell. Even if his amal make him deserving or worthy of the fire of hell, but this amal and this practice will inshallah become a barrier between him and entry into the fire of hell. How easy Allah ta'ala made it. How merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. How kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see us saved from the fire of hell. In fact, it is mentioned in one Hadith Sharif that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِتَّقُ النَّارُ وَلُوْ بِشِقِّ tamara. Save yourself from the fire of hell, even if it is with one, not one kajur, not one date, but one part of a date, one piece of a date. شِقِّ tamara. Not the date itself, the whole date is a lot. Just to give one, take a date and break it in half, or break it into smaller pieces and give one piece to someone, that very action could become the means of najat and salvation from the fire of hell. اِتَّقُ النَّارُ وَلُوْ بِشِقِّ tamara. So, the asbab and the means of najat are unlimited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made many, many excuses for our maghfirat. But indeed, a very unfortunate person who is not going to grab all of these things and acquire his salvation and najat. May Allah ta'ala grant us all najat and salvation. Save us from any form of azab at the time of our death. Allah save us from any form of azab in the qabr. Allah ta'ala save us from any form of azab on the day of qiyamah. Allah save us from any form of azab whilst we crossing the pool sirat. That is a very, very difficult stage also in the journey of the akhirat, crossing over the pool sirat. May Allah save us from any form of azab there, and Allah ta'ala save us from the azab of the fire of hell. For indeed, the azab of the fire of hell is such that we cannot imagine how terrible it is, how horrible it is. May Allah ta'ala safeguard and protect us. Those who, because of their amal, left this world and they were made to be subjected to azab, we make dua Allah ta'ala make them maghfirat and set them free and emancipate them. This is another gift of this month of Ramadan, that in every night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets free countless number of souls from the fire of hell, meaning from any form of azab that they're experiencing in alam-e-barzakh. Allah Rabbul Izzat sets them free. And on the last night of Ramadan, the total aggregate of all those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipated in the rest of the month, they are set free in the last night of Ramadan. So what beautiful gifts this Mubarak month has brought for us. This month has brought for us the gift of Rahmat. The first 10 days were the 10 days of Rahmat. That we become embodiments of Rahmat. We become enveloped in Rahmat. We ourselves become people who effuse Rahmat. We become people who embody Rahmat, and people who deal with Rahmat, people who act on the basis of Rahmat, people who treat others through Rahmat on mercy and kindness, as is mentioned in the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum ar-Rahman tabaraka wa ta'ala, irhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fis sama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on those people who show mercy. When we show mercy towards the makhluk and creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in turn will show mercy towards us. To the extent that if a person even shows mercy towards a very small, humble creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like an ant, even on that basis Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the maghfirat of people. It is said that there was a certain person, he was making wuzu in a certain place, and when he looked, he saw there was a colony of ants, they were moving there. A thought came in his mind, that if I am going to make wuzu here, I will destroy their colony, I will drown them, I will destroy this little makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should I disturb their life and become a means of difficulty for them? Look at the thoughtfulness. Today we are leading a life of ghaflat, be-fikri. We just lead our life in any way. Leave alone ants, human beings, insan. Leave alone insan, our own families, our own near and dear ones, our elders, our juniors, the way we treat them, there's no manifestation, there is no evidence of rahmat and mercy in our treatment towards those around us. So look at this person, the thoughtfulness. He thought of these ants, and he moved away from that place, and he went and sat at another place, and he made wuzu where there were no ants. When he passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the declaration of his maghfirat and forgiveness. When it was asked what was the reason for it, it was said that his maghfirat was made because he took mercy upon those ants. Subhanallah, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who show even the slightest mercy, our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Arif Billah, Rumiya Waqt, Hazrat Mawlana Shah, Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, A'alallahu Maratibahu, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali in his dua used to make dua for rahmat, that oh Allah, send your rahmat not only upon insan and jinnat, but send your mercy and rahmat upon the ants in the ant holes, and oh Allah, send your rahmat upon the fish in the ocean, and oh Allah, send your rahmat upon the birds in the air, and all your makhluk, oh Allah, envelop your entire makhluk in your rahmat. Now that is a manifestation of rahmat. And then we are inshallah from ar-rahimun. Those ar-rahimun, yarhamuhum ar-rahman tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is one of the hadith, musalsal bil-awwaliyat, where our asatiza, this is the first hadith that they teach the student, is this particular hadith. Then the student, when he becomes an ustad, he teaches, and so the silsila is carrying on. This is a very amazing hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala make us true embodiments of rahmat and mercy. Then we find this month of Ramadan has brought with it for us the gift of taqwa. Subhanallah, what a beautiful gift it has given us, the gift of taqwa. Some degree of taqwa definitely enters the heart of every Muslim, especially those who fast in the month of Ramadan. That taqwa definitely comes. That amount of taqwa that prevents us from eating anything, drinking anything during the daytime when we are fasting, that is a manifestation of taqwa. To the extent Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel, may Allah Ta'ala elevate his stages in Jannatul Firdaus, he used to mention this example so many times that there's 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left for iftar time, and you tell the most farsik and gunegar Muslim who is fasting, that what difference does it make? Just break your fast now before sunset. He will say, are you mad? Are you crazy? How can I break my fast now? It is not Allah's hukam to break the fast. I can only break my fast when it is Allah's hukam. So at that time, that respect for Allah's hukam, that appreciation for Allah's hukam, compliance with Allah's order is there. So that is what is taqwa, to comply with Allah's orders, to stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is taqwa, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of the grandeur, the majesty and the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what is the reality of taqwa. So to an extent, every Muslim acquires a certain level of taqwa. But the unfortunate thing is that after we acquired this gift, we don't look after it, we don't nurture it, we don't grow it. By right, these gifts are given to us to build on these gifts, to enhance them, so that when the month of Ramadan is over, we can continue building on these gifts. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned that those people who take what they acquired in Ramadan and they develop it, then inshallah these things will remain with them for the 11 months of the year. But if a person acquired the gift in Ramadan and then immediately after Ramadan we discard it and we throw it away, then we have lost a beautiful gift. How many a people, Allah forgive us, that the month of Ramadan is over, day of Eid comes, and that little taqwa, that Allah consciousness that came, that importance of Allah's orders, for example, the importance of Salah came in so many people's life. Because it is ironical that we're holding on to one farz of fasting and we discarding another farz, which is even more important in order of rank, the farz of Salah. We discard the farz of Salah. How can it be? So people will read their Salah in Ramadan. Because they are fasting, they feel we have to read our Salah. So they read Salah in the month of Ramadan, but no sooner this month is over, on the very day of Eid, how many people we see, they already start discarding their Salah. How many people miss out their Salah because of family function, or because of outings, or because of going around here and there, they completely neglect their Salah on the very day after Ramadan. So may Allah Ta'ala keep this gift of taqwa with us, and that we look after this gift. We appreciate this gift that was given to us, and we develop it, we build on it, so that it becomes stronger and stronger with us, inshallah ta'ala. Like that, my dear brothers, the month of Ramadan has given us the gift of ihsan. We develop some degree of Allah consciousness in Ramadan. After all, when a person is absolutely in his own privacy, there's nobody there, not even his wife, children, any friends, anybody, workers, anyone is there, he's all by himself. It's a hot day or it's a cold day, whatever day it is, he's thirsty, he's hungry, he could have taken a sip of water, he could have eaten a morsel of food, he could have eaten something quietly, nobody was watching him, but all the time he was conscious of something, and that is, he was conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So the kayfiyat of ihsan to some extent was developed in this month of Ramadan. This is another gift that the month of Ramadan has given us. It is now to build and develop on all of these gifts. Like that, my dear friends, there is the gift of good health. Ramadan promotes good health. By fasting, we are actually detoxifying our bodies. The medical authorities, the scientists, doctors, etc., will tell us that if we go through an intensive process of detoxification, and it's not just for 1-2 days, but over a period of a month, then we're actually giving all our systems in our bodies an opportunity to rejuvenate, to revive all those cells that had become weak and tired. Those cells are once more replenished, they are revived, they are rejuvenated. All the systems of the body, whether it is the digestive system, which is most benefited by fasting, whether it is the lymphatic system, whether it is the nervous system, or whether it is any other systems of the body, all these systems are actually revived in the month of Ramadan. So fasting actually generates and promotes good health. So that is one great benefit. It is said that there are some doctors, non-Muslims, who fast in Ramadan just to take the medical benefit. If only they had the wealth of Iman, Allahu Akbar. This is just a side benefit. It's just a little fringe benefit, as we will say. The real benefit, that ajr, and that is one of the other great gifts of Ramadan, that this gift will give us an entry into Jannah through one special door, and that is Babur Rayyan. This is also a gift of Ramadan. And this Ramadan has brought us the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself will be our host on the day of Qiyamah. لِصَائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ فَرْحَةٌ حِينَ يُفْتِرُ وَفَرْحَةٌ حِينَ يَلْقَى رَبَّهُ. That day when we will meet our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the host, the mezban, we will be the mehman, we will be sitting on the royal dastarkhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot imagine the variety of foods and dishes that will be there, and the deliciousness of those foods and drinks that will be there. And it will be said, eat to your heart's content, eat as much as you want. There won't be any fear of indigestion, there will be no fear of becoming overweight, there will be no fear of our sugar going high, our pressure going low. There will be no fear of any physical problems that will arise out of indulging on that day. We will indulge to our heart's content, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will encourage nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. This will be the mehmani and mehman nawazi of ghafurir rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant His believing servants on that day so much and so much. So my dear friends, these are some of the great gifts of the month of Ramadan. This month has also given us the gift of shukr and appreciation. We take so many ni'mats for granted. Many people take the ni'mat of food for granted. Because Allah has provided and we have find food easily, so we take it for granted. Look at the people in Syria. What a state of affairs they have reached. The ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reached that stage, my dear brothers, that the Mufti had to give the fatwa that if people have to eat rats now to survive, it is halal for them. Allah, what a level this ummah has reached of difficulty and hardship. Imagine when this news is conveyed to Rosa Mubarak, to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that today your ummah has reached that level of difficulty and hardship. What will go through the heart of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Make dua, Allah ta'ala take that difficulty away from them. Allah Rabbul Izzat bring back aman and afiyat for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them from His khazana and His treasures. And may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to open our hearts and to give generously from our side to our people, our brothers and sisters. There are many people in other parts of the world that they have to rummage through dustbins and looking for food. When Allah has given us so much of abundance, Allah Ta'ala forgive us that we sometimes lose the appreciation for these ni'mats. We waste food. How much of food is wasted, food is thrown away and so forth. It is said that when disrespect is showed for food, especially for bread, then that person will be deprived to such an extent that for generations that those families will suffer and poverty and need and want, because they did not show appreciation for food. So this month has come and taught us the lesson of appreciation. We learned the appreciation in this month. This food Allah has given us. Now when we have to stay away from food, we understand what it is, what value there is of the food. And it also has brought to us one great gift, and that is the sympathy for the poor, the solidarity with the poor people, the feeling for the poor people. A person is spurred on to try to serve the poor, to help the poor. That if this is what hunger is, if this is what starvation is, if this is what we experience for few days, then there are people who are experiencing this year in, year out. And year after year they're going through this. So it creates in a person a spirit of generosity, a feeling of solidarity and sympathy with the poor. And then we find that mashallah people open their hearts up. And especially in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we see, for example, in the Haramain Sharifain, Allahu Akbar, what generosity is seen in this month. You go to Madinah Munawwara, you see the dastarkhans are laid out. The people are literally begging you. They're literally begging you to sit at their dastarkhan. They want you to partake. They open their hearts up, they give in. So this is all the gifts that Ramadan has brought to us. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to enhance on these gifts, to value and cherish these gifts that have been given to us, and to continue building upon it after the month of Ramadan. Now we have entered a very critical and crucial phase of this month. We have come to the last stage of this month. We have come to the last 10 days of this month. These are those days when two great ibadats will be witnessed in these 10 days. One is the ibadat of i'tikaf. It's a very great ibadat. It was a sunnah, an established sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried not to miss the i'tikaf in the last 10 days. And if he did miss for any reason, then he made qaza of it also. In one narration it comes that one Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't sit for i'tikaf. Then he made qaza of it in the month of Shawwal. He sat for 10 days. Because of the effect and ta'asir in this amal. This amal has got a certain effect in it. Every amal has got a certain ta'asir and effect. The effect of fasting is different from salah. The effect of salah is different from zakah. The effect of zakat is different from hajj. Like foods have different effects. Proteins are different function in the body. Carbohydrates have a different function. Minerals have a different function. Fats have a different function. Different food groups have different effects. Different amal have different effects. The ta'asir, the effect of this i'tikaf is tabattul ilallah. A person becomes completely inclined, and a person becomes completely disinclined from the world, the material things, and completely inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the effect of i'tikaf. And therefore we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some months he said the whole month of Ramadan. Sometimes he said 20 days of Ramadan. One Ramadan when he could not sit for i'tikaf, he compensated the next year that he said for 20 days of i'tikaf. So it is a great ibadat, and for those who are able to carry out this ibadat, we should look forward to it and we should do our best. If circumstances are such that we cannot, because of health reason or because of other reasons, work, responsibility reasons and so forth, then at least we should try and spend maximum amount of time in the masjid in nafil i'tikaf. May Allah Ta'ala give us all that tawfiq. So my dear friends, this great ibadat of i'tikaf, and the reward is so great. The reward is so great that it is mentioned that mani atakafa asharan, the one who makes i'tikaf 10 days of Ramadan, kana lahu ka ajri hajjain or hajjatain or umratain. That person will have the reward of 2 hajj and 2 umrah for sitting 10 days in i'tikaf of Ramadan. Now we know that the umrah safar itself, by the time you go and you come back, and if you have to go twice, it will already be equal to 10 days at least. And then if you have to go for hajj and go and come back, it's quite a few weeks that a person goes for hajj and comes back. Now in 10 days, we're getting the reward of 2 hajj and 2 umrah. Subhanallah, what a great reward. And without the expenses, and without all the difficulties, the applications. How many people applied for umrah, their visas didn't come through, their hearts are crying that we missed the opportunity of going for umrah this Ramadan. How many are applying for hajj year after year, but they haven't been accredited, and they are waiting to get accreditation to go and perform their first hajj. So, without any need for application, we are getting the reward of the hajj, and we're getting the reward of the umrah, just sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is such an amazing ibadat, that just sitting in the masjid and doing nothing, even if we are sleeping, even if we are just reclining or resting, even if we are just taking it easy and we're not making any ibadat, we will get rewarded for every second that we are in the masjid. And if we're doing ibadat, obviously the reward is still there and it is multiplied. So this is the one great ibadat that we will witness in the month of Ramadan, the last 10 days of Ramadan. And then the one other great ibadat will be to search for the Laylatul Qadr. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all Laylatul Qadr this year. And all the years that went past, may Allah Ta'ala grant us the Laylatul Qadr of the previous Ramadan. The benefit of i'tikaf also is that automatically the mu'takif gets Laylatul Qadr, because he's already in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's already in ibadat. So he will automatically get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. So may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we search for the Laylatul Qadr. 21st, 23rd, 24th, 27th, 29th. Allah made it easy for us that the search has been narrowed down. It could have been any night in the year. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Laylatul Qadr comes any time in any night of the year, not even specifically Ramadan. That is one view. Then there is the view of many ulama that it comes in Ramadan, any time in Ramadan. Then there is the view amongst the ulama that in the 10 nights, any one of the 10 nights, whether it's the even or the odd nights. And then the strong view is that it is in the odd nights. It's only 5 nights that we have to really exert ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala give us the strength, the help, the tawfiq, that we try to exert ourselves in these few nights that are there, and we can get what they call the jackpot, and we can get that, you know, that gift, that Laylatul Qadr, that now years and years, 83 years and 4 months and more, more than 1,000 months of ibadat is written down for just one night's ibadat. And the du'as that are accepted on Laylatul Qadr, and the maghfirah that is made, man qama Laylatul Qadr imana wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqadama min zambi. His sins are completely written off just to stay up in one night of Laylatul Qadr. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to search for this night. Don't take it for granted that it is automatically on the 27th night of Ramadan. It could be on any other night. If it was fixed for 27, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would not have told us that, don't worry, it's fixed on 27th night. But he said, look for it, search for it. So it is sunnah to look for the Laylatul Qadr, to search for it. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we search for Laylatul Qadr, we find that Laylatul Qadr. And in i'tikaf, there are certain important masail. We should try to understand those masail. Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Maulana is here. Maulana Yusuf Sahib is also here. The ulama here. They will explain the various masail, the rules, regulations of i'tikaf, and how to conduct ourselves in i'tikaf. Alhamdulillah, a little pamphlet was prepared by Darul Ihsan also on Nizam i'tikaf, which is based more or less on the tartib of Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, that he had a little pamphlet that was called Nizam i'tikaf, the method of i'tikaf, how to make your time valuable. So alhamdulillah, here or other masajid where the ulama, mashayir, they've got their programs happening and so forth, fit ourselves into those programs, and then in infiradi time, we can read up from that pamphlet and see how we can do some infiradi amal. It's a good guideline. And where there aren't any such programs happening, then we can follow the tartib, the pattern that has been set out there. Especially our mothers at home, our sisters at home who wish to sit for i'tikaf, they can use that as a guideline. It's not hard and fast, but it's a kind of a guideline explaining how to spend the 24 hours of day and night to make the time as profitable as possible, so that we don't waste these beautiful opportunities. And yes, the mothers and sisters, so important, that they also have an opportunity of sitting for i'tikaf. It's not only for the men. This ibadat is for the women. That Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَعْتَكِفُ فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ وَكَانَ يَعْتَكِفُ نِسَاؤُهُ أَوْ أَزْوَاجُهُ بَعْدَهُ. After him, his wives also used to sit for i'tikaf. They also used to make i'tikaf the azwaj mutahharat. So from this we learn that this is an ibadat even for the women. In fact, it is far more easier for them than it is even for the men. So as far as possible, the women folk should also try to bring alive this sunnat of i'tikaf and gain the great benefits of this. May Allah Ta'ala make the rest of this month of Ramadan, whatever is left, make it the best part of this month. And Allah Ta'ala give us plenty of tawfiq, that we don't waste any minute and we reap the full benefit. As the hadith I recited in the beginning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana shadda mi'zarahu. He used to tighten his loincloth, his lungi, in the last 10 days. This is a figurative expression, that he used to exert himself. One hadith it comes, kana yashtahidu fi ma la yashtahidu fi ghairi. He used to exert himself more in these last 10 days than even in the earlier days of Ramadan. And أَحْيَا لَيْلَهُ He used to keep the night awake, in other words, to stay up the whole night. وَأَيْقَظَ أَهْلَهُ He used to get his family up also, because he didn't want them to be deprived of the barakat of these last 10 days of Ramadan. Allah give us tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
اللهم لك الحمد كله لك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك فاغفر لنا وتب علينا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك المصطفى خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا رب العالمين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم انصر أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم احفظ أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من جميع البليات والآفات والعاهات اللهم احرسنا بعينك التي لا تنام واكنفنا بركنك الذي لا يرام ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين